Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast. Adam and Hank here with you. Hank, how's it going, buddy?
Adam, it's going well. What a great night for a Jimmy Buffett podcast. You know, in North Carolina, we have weird seasons. We are in what I like to call the deceptive spring right now.
We are.
It's going to be raining and miserable next week. It was raining and miserable last week. It was 74 and sunny today with not a cloud in the sky. I felt almost at times like I was walking around Old Town Key West.
Man, the weather's been awesome these past couple of days. I know my work days have been more manageable just from the simple fact of waking up and driving to work in the sunshine as opposed to a torrential downpour. So, yeah, man, it's been a good week, but at least here the rain's rolling back in tomorrow. We get a break Saturday and then six more days of rain. So I know what you mean.
I think this is the wettest winter I can recall in a long time. And I don't know that I've ever more lamented the fact that I don't live somewhere that has like 348 days of sunshine or whatever ridiculous stat the Keys have.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I heard somewhere that our county, which is by no means the largest in population, but is the largest in total like land area, however you word it. It's the largest in the state of North Carolina. And we have had more rainfall in the past 12 months than any 12 months ever recorded. And I 100% believe it. It's been rough.
Wow. Because they've been keeping track of rainfall for quite a while. You know,
I guess so.
They didn't start like 2 years ago.
I guess so. Yeah. Man, if I had known we were going to talk about this, my best friend's a meteorologist. We should have had him on.
Next but, time. Well, have you had plenty of opportunity to listen to our guy, James?
Absolutely.
Brighten your day a little bit.
It's a daily ritual. And like I said, it's been really hitting this week. I've been able to, you know, listen to some more upbeat ones with the windows down. So that's been feeling good.
You know, summertime is coming. And I think there's reason for optimism amongst a lot of us. More and more COVID vaccines going out. Like Brendan mentioned last week, I don't know when we'll see James and other really big acts on the road, but I walked past a sign today, walking Captain Jack Sparrow around downtown Belmont. Walked by a sign today that said, let's welcome back live music next Thursday night. So if you're just anywhere in North Carolina or near Charlotte and you're jonesing for live music, free plug here, you can hit Sammy's in downtown Belmont next Thursday. They've got some music. And I may go and toss $20 in the hat and ask for some obscure Jimmy Buffett.
That sounds like a great idea, man. Sounds like a great idea. You know, there's not enough Buffett played in college towns, you know. Not enough Buffett played in college towns. I know you work on a college campus. Probably not enough Buffett just floating through the air, I'm guessing.
There never is. I'll tell you what, neat fact about the college campus I work on. I work at Winthrop. The Winthrop Coliseum, the very first concert ever hosted in that building, was a guy that we've heard of before, a little artist named James William Buffett. How about that for a second?
That's so cool, man. That is so cool.
I have a fellow big-time under 40 victim of fate that I work with who is actually a Winthrop alum that made me aware of that stat. Thought it was pretty neat and a cool stat. First ever concert in the building I walk into every day. Was Jimmy Buffett.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's just lovely. It's gotta make going to work a little better, a little cooler at least.
And now you're plus one in the Winthrop Coliseum trivia, you know, and who doesn't want that on the resume? Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Glad to have that. Obviously though, with a really cool program like Margaritaville University, maybe we can get more and more Buffett flowing through college campuses. And our guest tonight is going to be able to tell us a lot about that, I think.
I can't wait to hear about it. One of the original MARVU ambassadors is with us tonight, certainly qualifies as an under 40 victim of fate. You know, we wanted some underachievers, I mentioned last week. And here we are with one of the original MARVU ambassadors. That's tough. We still have not accomplished our goal of getting underachievers, but Jaina Patidar is with us tonight. Jaina, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
So we jumped in. We mentioned Margu, and you've got a neat story about that. Why don't you dive in? Tell us about Margu, what your experience was like, what your involvement was like, and maybe just what Margu is like all about. And then make sure at the end you answer the heavy-hitting question that everybody wants to know about Margu. Where do I get one of those flags?
Okay. Well, Margu, I cannot say enough amazing things about that program. It really did a lot for me, and it really helped me get involved on my college campus, even though I definitely had a very untraditional experience with college. Technically, 2016, the fall of 2016, was the first class of Margu. I was actually one of the first people to apply, and they actually told me, yes, but wait a semester, because they wanted me to kind of get used to college life, which I get it, you know, Margaritaville University, typically somebody's going to think drinking, you know, is definitely 19. I was not of age. But I waited that semester, and then I got accepted. And it was really cool. They send you a bunch of stuff to just give out to your peers. And each semester, they want you to host, like, a party, essentially, where people get acclimated with Jimmy Buffett, the Margaritaville University lifestyle, give out coupons for the restaurants, just stuff like that. It was really, really cool. And one of the coolest things was I went to Columbia College, which it was a private women's college at the time. And we are in a poorer school area. So one of our partner schools was doing a fundraiser to raise money to buy books for underprivileged children. So I reached out to the team at Margu and I told them what was going on. And they were like, hey, go to the website, pick out anything you want for raffle prizes. We're going to completely sponsor it. So they literally gave me free rein on the website, mailed me all this stuff. The grand prize was one of the bikes. And we raised so much money. I think at the end, it was close to $2,000 or $3,000.
Hey, that's incredible.
It was awesome. And the only thing they asked for in return was a few photos. So they're a great team over there. I could not say enough amazing things about them.
How about that? I'll tell you what, it is criminal. Nothing short of criminal that Margu wasn't around when I was in school, you know?
Yeah. Talk about being victims of fate, brother.
You nailed it. You nailed it.
Man, we're kind of on the wrong side of a couple of things here. Like, we're just so perfectly wrongly in the middle. So we're the under 40 victims of fate and weren't able to experience, you know, those days when Jimmy was playing gymnasiums and dive bars. And we're too old to have been a part of Margu. What is... Goodness gracious.
Something's got to go our way one of these days, Adam. You know, good jobs, wonderful dogs, beautiful wives, you know, pales in comparison to what could have been when it comes to Margu. You know, I've got to lay down tonight and I've got to say, you know what? My health, my family, my beautiful wife, my career, they're going to have to do for now until something shakes out with Jimmy Buffett, you know?
That's right. I wonder, so I have thought about doing graduate school. I wonder if there's like a Margu graduate school.
Jane, I bet you know.
Yeah, you just have to be enrolled in school, I believe. So
do you have to be full-time?
I don't think you have to be full-time.
Can you be at a community college?
I believe so. So
Hank really is about to enroll in a bowling course.
100%. I'm going to take a one-hour class at a local community college for, like, you know, probably not much tuition, and I'm gonna get all kinds of Margu swag, and that's how I'm gonna game the system. I hope they don't hear this.
That's the answer. Oh no, you just sold your plan.
No, those seven people that listen to us, Hank, won't tell us all.
That's right. You know, I was getting ready for the podcast tonight, and I opted out of doing the dishes, and I told Tara, I said, I've got to get my mind right. There dozens of people looking forward to my podcast.
Literally dozens.
Dozens.
Literally so, dozens.
Here we are. So, Jana, tell us a little. You had also, did you have access to good concert tickets through Margu, or are you naturally unbelievably lucky? Because when I first, started talking to you and your mom, really, man, every time I turned around, it was like, hey, first row seats here, backstage passes there.
You know, that was not due to Margaritaville University. That was due to working my butt off and paying the front row price. Definitely paid for that quite heavily. Not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah, the secondary front row price is not always friendly.
Oh, no. And granted, the first time front row, I have front row seats for Charleston, and those were not fun to pay for either, but happily did it.
Yeah. Now, which Charleston concert was that? What year?
Well, I have front row for the potential upcoming show, allegedly, if that happens.
Right, right.
Allegedly. But yes, I have been front row. I was front row in Atlanta in 2019, I believe. And then I was second row in Boston.
Second row in Boston. So you're kind of like me. You go around a little bit and watch shows. How many shows have you been to?
I did the math when I was prepping for this podcast, and I have been to 8. However, to put it in perspective, that's been since 2017.
Yeah.
And I only went to 1 in 2017. So that's all 2018 and 2019.
Yeah, that's a pretty good run, you know, pretty good run. So tell us, you know, a little bit. Adam and I have talked so much about our history as Parrot Heads and how we got here. Tell us about yours. You know, how did you come to be aware of James? When did you first really start appreciating his music and getting into it?
Okay, so I believe I was always destined to be a Parrot Head. I did not grow up with the music. That was just, it was country in this house, and that was it. That was what you listened to. But I have some memories that just led up to it. When I was in the second grade, this was probably about 2005. I remember going on a trip to Charleston, South Carolina, and we went to this restaurant that's pretty popular called Hyman's. It's like a seafood place. And I remember we sat down at the table and we look at like the little plaque that was on the table, and it talked about how Jimmy Buffett had sat at the table. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, whatever. Didn't think anything of it. Well, then in about 2008, I went to a University of South Carolina football game, and the halftime show was Jimmy Buffett themed for the marching band. And then I did not think about Jimmy Buffett again until I was a senior in high school. And for Christmas, my mother, all she asked for was the Yellow album. So got it for her for Christmas, and then I stole it and I took it for my own because I liked it, and I have been a Parrot Head ever since.
So great move. Yeah.
So your mom was getting into it as well, kind of same time you were, or was she always a fan?
She always liked him, but it was kind of, we only listened to country, you know, we were kind of stuck in that rut of whatever the top 40 was, that was what we were listening to. So she knew of the music, but she wasn't into it then.
Yeah, that's kind of that's very similar to my story, because I was very much, I became a huge fan in college too. I bought Songs You Know by Heart one day on my way to Carolina Beach at a record store, put it in the CD player and just, you know, listen to it cruising down 421 with my windows down, and really falling in love with songs like He Went to Paris and Boat Drinks, Son of a Sailor, the ones that I hadn't heard a million times, like Fins and Margaritaville and Cheeseburger. And then I did a deep dive, obviously, as I've told a million times on here, with A1A, and I was a goner after that. But I think one of the reasons that I kept going back to Jimmy's music was country radio was getting progressively worse, I thought. and I wanted to hear real, true songwriting, and that's what I was finding with Jimmy's music.
You know, I couldn't agree more there, Adam. It's a lot of people, I think, would unfortunately maybe agree with your assessment of country music. I'll just say country music has changed a little bit, you know. At the same time, I feel like at the same time, this may be wholly inaccurate, but I feel like Jimmy has also had this resurgence in popularity. He wasn't always popular, right? But I feel like there's been this resurgence, maybe because of Jaina and the old Margu program, though, but particularly amongst younger folks, right, who have really started to appreciate it. But what I think's interesting, Jaina, so many people we talk to, you know, like, oh man, it was our parents' music. I was 5 years old listening to it. You, entirely different. So who would you say became a bigger fan faster, you or your mom?
Barbie already knew the music somewhat. So I'm going to say me, just because I just dove in. I loved it. It was different.
And what captured you the most? Was there a certain couple of songs? Was there a moment where you're like, boy, this is it? Do you remember a time where you just thought, I'm getting in the car and hitting the old James Spotify playlist again tomorrow?
I really like the slower songs. I've always been a very acoustic oriented person. Barbie says my only taste in music is sad and depressing. So when I heard some of the slower stuff, it was kind of a middle ground. And I think that was what really did it for us. We could agree on something finally.
Meaningful, but not depressing for his slow stuff.
Yes, yes. Very meaningful.
Yeah, very good. No, I can dig that. And, we'll get a chance later to talk about your favorite, maybe some of your favorite songs and stuff like that. But back to the concerts, Boston, what a fun one. That probably was an experience. You've got some cool memorabilia, some good memories, but also some neat trinkets from some concerts. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I am very lucky. I currently, my collection is, I have two of the guitar picks that he has thrown out while he's playing. And then he gave me a pair of shoes in Atlanta in 2019.
So I don't want to gloss over that. So James William Buffett has handed you a pair of flip-flops.
Yes. Yes, he has.
Holy crap.
It was the best night of my life.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
And I get the sense that's not hyperbole, best night of your life.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I probably couldn't afford the flip-flops, so I'm going to ask about the guitar picks. Are either for sale?
Not exactly. But if they went missing during this move, I probably wouldn't notice.
Oh man, that means you can sell one and not miss it, We'll have to talk about that after the show. We'll figure out a good price and get one up there. It'd be great. Or send it to Adam and he can play. He can play with an actual guitar pick that Jimmy's playing.
That would be special for sure.
I'm not gonna lie. The one I got a guitar pick in Boston. And we were second row, but the front row was not full. There were three people on it. But there was this older couple beside me. And I had quite a few drinks, I'm not going to lie. There was this older couple beside me, and we both went down for that guitar pick at the same time. And any sense of, respecting the elders just kind of went out the window. It was a free-for-all at that point. They were not happy they didn't get it.
Well, it should have been,
It's a whole different ball game.
They've had their time. They've had their time.
Right.
And here's a big question that pops into my mind. So you're in the second row. There's empty seats in the first row. Did you remain in the second row?
They wouldn't let me go up. And I was really sad. I wanted to. I asked them and Charleston said no. So I just said, oh, okay. I'll live my best life from second row.
So I've never been up that close, obviously. I usually sit back, with the pours. How's the show from up there? Take a minute or two and what's it? Have you ever seen a show not that close? And what's the difference in not being that close and then being that close?
So I have seen quite a few shows not that close. The main difference is when you're at the back, people aren't really getting into it. They're not dancing, they're not singing. It's people that were like, oh, my cousin gave me these tickets. Here I am. But when you're in the pit, your front row, everybody knows every word and it's just a big party. And it's totally worth it.
I've found in my experience with most any show, the reason you pay for those tickets to be closer is not because not to see that artist up close as much as to be with the people who are truly there because they want to hear the music, right? I understand the lawn is just a big party, and that's a lot of the reason why those people go, right? But there is something different. You make a great point. There's something different about being close, and those people up there, I think, really just want to be there, for the songs. So
it's really funny that you mentioned that, Hank. Because that night that I got the shoes, I think you mentioned was one of the worst concerts that you went to because it was pouring down rain. I actually had lawn seats until 10 minutes before we walked into the venue. And it looked like it was going to rain. And I'm super weird about getting my hair wet. I was like, I don't know if I can do that. Like, I'm not prepared to stand through this concert with wet hair. No, I can't do that. So I went on to Ticketmaster and I found the front row seats for $300 each. So always check it right before you go in. You know what? I probably shouldn't say that. So now people know my secrets, but.
Right. You're creating competition right now. Unknowing.
Right. I mean, that was a lie. Disregard. Just don't listen to that.
You know, I get it. One of the big things for me, and a lot of our listeners probably have never seen me, common misconception. I do have hair. It's a little thin these days, you know, a little thin. I keep it at a one guard, a nice buzzed head, one guard. But you know, people wouldn't believe it, but me getting my hair wet too was an absolute nightmare, you know? So I totally understand. Totally understand where you're coming from there. But that was a wet, rainy show, but you know, you got flip-flops out of the deal.
I did.
So Jana, obviously you were a member of Margaritaville University, but tell us a little bit about what you actually got your degree in and maybe what you're doing now.
Okay, well, that's a wild ride. My undergrad is technically in criminal justice with a minor in emergency management. I'm finishing my master's. I should be graduating on April the 30th with my master's in criminal justice. During the day, I work as an operations administrator at the Columbia College Police Department. But on the side, I run a freelance social media management business. And that's where my heart's at. That's where my passion's at. And so basically I get paid to play on social media and it's kind of fantastic.
That's really cool. And obviously knew you did that, but I wanted to ask you so our listeners would know, it seems just from a normal person that teaches English for a living and isn't great with social media, but it seems like for Jimmy Buffett to be a 74-year-old musician, he has a pretty good presence on social media, wouldn't you say?
Oh, 100%. Whoever runs his accounts might be him, not saying it's not, but they're genius.
Oh, it's not.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, they do a great job of posing. Like, they'll post a picture of Jimmy out at sea, you know, on his boat, and it'll say, you know, if the phone doesn't ring, it's me or something. They posted one today of him, like, I don't even know what, Hank, what was that thing that he was riding? It was some sort of, like, motorized surfboard.
I saw that, and I don't know that I have, it was a little too close to a paddleboard for me, and I paddleboarded exactly once in my life. It was the only 90 seconds on my entire honeymoon I was pissed off. Miserable time, and it reminded me too much of a paddleboard, so I kind of checked out. But it was a neat looking contraption, and hey, more props. James is looking healthy and sturdy and happy out there, you know.
Wait a second, what's wrong with paddleboarding?
Nothing's wrong with it. I'm just not good at it.
Okay, yes, man. We love to go down to Riceville Beach and hop on a paddleboard, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah, Jimmy does it too. I just am terrible at it. Or at least you know, I was.
I don't think I ever wanted to do it until I saw Jimmy do it. So
I'll say this too. I was in the ocean, I had a very skinny paddleboard, and that was the first time I ever tried it. And so I don't know that I set myself up for success.
So you can't start in the ocean. You got to go to like a waterway or something where there's not a ton of breakers. That's the thing, man.
I do think about, you know, Jana, give you a chance to plug your social company in a second, but I do think about, I think we could all agree, Jimmy Buffett is cooler than most 74-year-olds. I would say all, but I don't know every 74-year-old, so who knows? But I would say I'm real comfortable saying he's up there, right? Probably comfortably in the 99th percentile of cool 74-year-olds. Makes me wonder, thinking of him on social media, if he types on his phone with one finger like a lot of other old people I know. You know, do you think he has the thumbs going, or do you think he does the one finger tap of the screen?
Why do I feel like he might be like a voice to type person? Kind of get that vibe.
Good call. Curveball there. Yeah. Could be right.
You know, yeah. I have read that Jimmy is really techie though. He loves his Garmin watches and all that sort of stuff.
Well, and every time I see him, he's typing on the old you know, typing on his iPad, tablet and drawing on the iPad and doing other stuff. And I always get excited when I see him with that stuff. I wonder if new stuff's coming. And I actually heard, you know, through the grapevine that he is, which makes sense, that even at this point, he still does a lot of thinking about music and other stuff. So I wonder if he's got a couple of songs left in the old tank.
We can only hope so, right? We can only hope so. So speaking of songs, and we can do a kind of a little deep dive now on kind of, Jaina, you know, at during all of our shows, if you've listened to any, we kind of talk about the four songs that we're vibing with this week. But what are maybe some of your favorite songs? Or I think the way we've worded it before is if you could take four songs with you right now to an island, what would those four songs be? I know that's a really difficult question to ask.
Okay, I come prepared. I wrote it all down. I have to
good
for everything. Definitely my number one is going to be Love and Luck. That is my all-time favorite song. I have the lyrics tattooed on my body. Like, I love it.
Well, hold on now. Time out, pause. We've got some listeners who have some Jimmy Buffett-related tattoos. Ironically, one of my songs tonight deals with tattoos. But tell us about the tattoo there. Is it your only Jimmy Buffett tattoo? If so, one's acceptable. Tell us about the tattoo there.
Okay, so I have one on my arm that says Love and Luck in a pretty little cursive font. I'm very minimalistic. And then I actually have another one on my foot that says Fins Up. That one is a story in itself. I got it in 2019 in Cincinnati. I looked at Barbie in the middle of the show and I said, I think I'm going to go get a tattoo tomorrow. And she says, Jaina, you are in a strange city. You are not getting a tattoo tomorrow. So we get in the Uber, Ubering back to the hotel. We get stuck in traffic, as you do in Cincinnati when the police officers block off the entire road. And I asked the Uber driver, I was like, where should I get a tattoo tomorrow? Like, what's a good shop around here? And he gave me the name of a place. So I took the advice of my Uber driver and I went to this tattoo shop, let him put a needle in my body, and it didn't turn out that badly.
You're getting a tattoo on a whim, Jimmy Buffett tattoo. That's a pretty cool story. And it says Fins Up.
And you got it in Cincinnati. She came down from Cincinnati. It took her 3 days on a train, right?
Something like that. We flew through a hurricane to get there for that.
Dedication. So a couple of tattoos, which is great. I do not have any Jimmy Buffett tattoos yet, but constantly go back and forth like a lot of people, I think. So that's awesome. So a couple of tattoos. Love and Luck, first song. Fire away with number two.
Okay, If It All Falls Down. I love it. I'm a very, you know, let's do everything on a whim person. And that just kind of goes along with my life motto.
So, Jaina, I know you said before the top of the show that you're not really an albums person. You more so just have your Spotify playlist or whatever. Totally understandable in this century and all. But if you've never heard how No Plane on Sunday, or If It All Falls Down flows into No Plane on Sunday from Florida's, like, that is so perfectly, like, calculated, whoever was producing that for sure did it intentionally. So you need to go give that a listen.
I'll for sure have to go do that as soon as this is over.
Yeah, it's magical. It's magical.
What a spread.
I can see it now that you say that.
Yeah. Way to spread the love there, Adam. You know, that's what we're about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to fill people in on the little nuggets, you know. What's the next one, Jaina?
Only Time Will Tell. That one will always have a special place in my heart. My undergrad graduation cap says Only Time Will Tell, because my life has been such a, you know, happenstance occurrence.
Can you think about the first time you heard that song?
I feel like Barbie told me to listen to it because it reminded her of me. and just how I'm so go with the flow, you know, everything's going to work out. Like, just don't worry about anything. I'm very hippie-ish in that way.
Very good. Very good. Believe too, that is your first Banana Wind offering, which we talked about the Banana Wind album some last week. So good all around album. The Banana Wind instrumental, the Mayor Man actually fell asleep to tonight. So yeah, good times.
Okay. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Shout out to, Anthony Monaco, who has been jamming to Banana Wind all week. So shout out Anthony, who filled me in on that earlier.
All right, Jana, last one. You know, this is impactful because you can't take it back. I guess we could give you a bonus track, but number four, song number four for you.
Okay. The Wino and I Know.
Okay.
I love that song.
Jammed to that one today on the way home.
Here's what I find most interesting. The Wino and I Know, Quietly Making Noise, Love and Luck, and If It All Falls Down. So we hear earlier, you love the slow stuff. And then your four songs, you're taking to the island. All of them are fast, toe tappers.
Well, if you're stranded on an island, you've got to have some hope. You know, you can't just be sad and depressed sitting on an island by yourself.
That's good. You know what? That's a point neither of us have made before, and one I appreciate. You know, it's all about mindset and mood out there on the island, I would guess, by yourself. So you can't come out there with some real draggy, slow songs, I suppose. Like, you need something to get you fired up.
Right, right.
And you've done that. So let's do this. We'll change course a little bit. If you had to go, let's say it's a rainy Saturday evening, you're hanging there on the couch, maybe reading a book, maybe you're having a glass of wine, a little slower song. What are your probably top two or three there if you had to go to some of the slower stuff?
Definitely, It's Been a Lovely Cruise. I absolutely love that song. Now I'm trying to think of slow songs because you caught me off guard because all of my top 10 that I wrote down are fast.
No big deal, though.
Right. Deal.
It gets hard because there's so many songs you got to sift through them in your mind. It's like when you read the Cheesecake Factory menu, you know?
Oh, 100%.
There's a lot to get through.
Definitely Coast of Carolina. I know you love that song, obviously. I'm from South Carolina. I love the song. But it's just so beautiful. I love how simple it really is.
Which may start a bigger debate. Which Carolina is he singing about?
South Carolina, 100%. No question.
You know, I work in South Carolina, and boy, we could take a right turn here. I would have to say, my thought is James has either been out the Outer Banks or somewhere in Wilmington writing about the coast of Carolina. But you know what? He could have been in Charleston, too.
It could have been Charleston, but definitely not Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, fair point.
Well, I think Jane is from South Carolina.
Yes, she went to the University of South Carolina.
So, I don't know. Well, let me just set the record straight. Regardless of what coast of Carolina is about, when people say Carolina, as in the sports team, they're talking about the University of North Carolina. Okay. All right. Perfect. I just want to throw that in there.
So, you know what I find interesting is I've never considered whether he's talking about North or South Carolina. But I wonder, here's the thing. We're all from the Carolinas, right? We had another guest from the Carolinas, and we've had a guest from the West Coast. Brendan's currently in Nashville, but we are all from the Carolinas. I think what we fail to realize collectively, and maybe somebody will hit us up and let us know. We got some great fan mail from Paul out on the West Coast. Paul, if you're listening, hit us up. Let us know what you think. I think a lot of the rest of the country tends to group the Carolinas together collectively. There may not be as much of a distinction in North Carolina and South Carolina as we think. There may just be the Carolinas generally that a lot of the rest of the country groups together, which is okay. Two fine states, in my opinion.
I agree with that. That's like the Midwest is Texas. You can't argue with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, I can roll with being grouped with South Carolina. Just don't group me with Vermont or something up there. I mean, no offense to who are we getting? Nobody in Vermont's listening. If you're listening to us in Vermont, send us an email. Under40pod@gmail.com.
Under40pod@gmail.com, and we will wear that one. But I'll tell you this, I'm sure there's some wonderful, wonderful parrot heads up in Vermont. Cold. It's cold up there, you know. And I hope personally that if you're hearing this and you're in Vermont, I hope that you're doing all right. I hope you're staying warm. I hope you're having some of your favorite boat drinks and know that we're all thinking about you. Until at least June when it warms up. But it was 74 here today. So maybe consider a move down here to the Carolinas, you know?
I don't know how we got on. That was quite a deep dive. And I don't know. I like it. For some reason, shout out Grace Potter, who is from Vermont, the singer. I felt like we could just do a Vermont deep dive. Bernie's from Vermont, right?
Yeah, I think he is. We need to just do like a Vermont-based episode. Dig up all the Jimmy Buffett facts we can, based in and around Vermont.
Would be the least listened to episode.
That's right.
In the history of podcast.
Unless it goes viral in Vermont, you know?
And it could.
We've got some songs. We talked about Copper Line last week with Brendan Mayer, which is a song about a little area in North Carolina. We've got plenty of songs. The old coast of Carolina, you know, potentially someone's going to get mad because they're going to say, it's, you know, this honor should belong to maybe Petey Pablo or James Taylor. But I'll say it. I think Coast of Carolina may be the best song written and sung about the Carolinas, you know? And when you think about it, there are a lot of options when it comes to songs about the Carolinas, not so for Vermont.
So get you some of that, Vermont.
That's right. We love you, but no one's writing about you yet.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, Adam, tell us about your four songs for the week.
Man, I've picked up the pace just a little bit. I'll go with one with more pace for my first one, Manana. Just a good one. Feels good with the windows rolled down. I know Dan at Classic Buffett and the Stories We Could Tell podcast was talking about how that last verse, the lyrics we were talking about, just how great those lyrics are. See General Electric still doing their best. And the new album's old and I'm fresh out of tunes, but I know that I'll get them. I know that they'll come through the people and places and Callwood's Rum. I love so many lyrics in that song. Soon as we sail off to Cane Garden Bay, and the way that each verse kind of flows into a really big chorus. But
man, it's so cold, it's going to snow until June.
Yeah, so cold, it's going to snow until June. Yeah, it definitely feels like that. So my next one is Dallas. Dallas from A1A.
That is one that I could have named 200 songs right now, Adam, and I don't think that I would have gotten to Dallas.
Me and you, Hank, and a couple of other friends were talking earlier this week about Roger Bartlett, who was an original Coral Reefer band member. He wrote the song Dallas, and there's kind of a GoFundMe type, I don't know if it's a GoFundMe, but it's some sort of fundraiser on the Classic Buffett Facebook page to help him record his newest record, which I think is really cool for everyone that's contributing to that. And Dallas is just a great song, man. If it's kind of not in your memory or your memory, Jaina, or anybody listening's memory, go give it a listen. Now, if you live in Dallas and that place is near and dear to your heart, it may not be your favorite song. But for someone who really doesn't care for the Cowboys, it's good stuff.
Jaina, I bet you know, here we are with one of the original Margu ambassadors who raises thousands of dollars for charity, which I think is cool. Jimmy's always been really into charity, which probably, Jaina, correct me if I'm wrong, probably spawned some of the idea for Margu. I bet you guys have a lot of charity-based initiatives, right?
I believe so. I know, I think they kicked me out of the Facebook group because I was old. But so I don't get to see all the like the newer ambassadors, but there is a Margu alumni group, so I get to see everything they're up to. But yes, when I was still in the other group before they kicked me out, it was always very charity based.
Wow, that's awesome. Very savage, just kicking you out like we're done. We'll see you.
Well, that's kind of rude, but that's fine.
Nice to meet you. Not even paying for a cab home. Just get out, you know? Unbelievable. Well, maybe on the MARGU alumni page, you can share this podcast and some of our others. You know, we can get some more under 40 ears on the old podcast here. So,
Sure. And there's some amazing people there.
No doubt. I love it. I love it. Well, you know, here you are, MARGU ambassador, getting educated a little bit, you know, on Jimmy Buffett, a big fan of your, such as yourself, still getting educated, which I think is one of my favorite things about Adam is he knows it forwards and backwards. So, Adam, what do you got next, man?
Possibly to a fault. I know it a little too much. I just obsess over it. But one of your all-time favorites, Hank, Quietly Making Noise. And I'm with you, man. I heard you on the Blame It on Buffett podcast earlier this week. You killed it. Enjoyed listening to that. Shout out Aaliyah if you're listening, but who are we kidding? You're not.
She's not, yeah.
Quietly Making Noise, man, I agree with you. Those lyrics, an African prancer, a hemisphere dancer, and the ghost of Brazan, I love it. I love it. And the way it builds up, it literally feels like the song is quietly making noise, like it slowly builds to that big anthemic chorus, and I absolutely love it. And then my last song is, obviously we had a great moment on the podcast last week with Brandon singing Barefoot Children, and that's actually not the reason I'm picking it today. Our former pod guest, Austin Parlett, we talked about his late great dad. That and Pirate Looks at 40 was one of, or were his favorite songs. And today is his birthday, Austin's dad's birthday. So want to wish him a happy birthday up in heaven, where we know he probably gave that song a spin today. And I just wanted to say, you know, Austin, congrats on the wedding, and we're thinking about you a little extra today, man.
Man, you know what? That's right. Austin, congratulations, and I hope your day's been special. I know those birthdays of loved ones can be tough who've gone on to the other side. So, Austin, hope you're doing well today or whenever you listen to this, man, and I hope the wedding was fantastic. So, great lineup there. Adam, Jana, next time you're on, we'll have to have you offer some critique and or commentary on our song choices, you know?
Okay, for sure.
Dive right in there. I am, I'll tell you what, I am rich for and available for critique at all times in my life, I feel like. So just jump in there, you know, let me know what you think. Give me the what for. Okay. But Adam, that's a good list, man. That's pretty solid.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy makes it easy to make a good list. Like, you just throw the dart at any four and you're probably good.
You know, you could do that. I literally think I could pull up my Spotify playlist and name any four songs in a row. And like, they're legit. You know, I could stand behind. Oh, yeah. I could defend any one of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of good albums for James, too. And I've got a couple of albums represented on my four songs tonight. That these two albums don't get much love. And the more I looked at them, the more I can't figure out why. One particular harbor remains, I'll say, for now, probably my favorite album still. But I'll tell you what isn't a terrible album, Buffett Hotel. Some good tunes on that one. Adam, you familiar?
Yeah. Hank, I hate to do this to you. Just one T on that album, man. Buffett Hotel. It's so confusing, right? Like, who named Buffett would name their album Buffett Hotel?
See, I always thought that it was Buffett Hotel, but he showed up somewhere once. There are a lot of places. You know, the classic Buffett Facebook page, there's a lot of stuff where even marquees and tickets of his, even in the early 80s.
Yeah, we're wrong. Yeah.
You know, when no big deal, he had some top 10 hits at that point, had one T. I'm still telling people it's two T's. If you're listening to this, Jimmy Buffett has two T's on the end of it. I've always thought it was supposed to be Buffett Hotel, but it was kind of a play, like kind of a little jab at himself that so many people put one T.
Well, you know, that's a fair point. I think it could go either way. Could go either way.
I'll have to text James after this, see what he thinks.
I'm saving us from all those fans in Vermont messaging us and telling us we pronounced it wrong.
Oh, they're already coming for us. Vermont is hot and heavy on the way.
Man, it is. It's a great record, though. The song you heard at the top of the pod, I know, is one of each of our favorites, right?
No doubt. That's song number one for me, actually. Wings is song number one for me this week. A great tune. I love it. Co-wrote by Will Kimbrough. Fun fact, who also did Piece of Work and a bunch of other stuff. I think Will Kimbrough was on the most recent album as well.
Yeah, yeah. He helped Jimmy, goodness, and I'm blanking, but he did help Jimmy write a few tunes on there too.
There you go.
Oh, Will Kimbrough wrote Half Drunk.
Okay.
All right. I know he wrote that one. Yeah.
And Piece of Work, which I enjoy. Mm-hmm. So good songwriter and good dude from what I see and read about him. So this is my nod to him tonight. Wings is my first song. And on the same album, Buffett Buffet Hotel.
Whatever you want to call it.
You know, whatever you want to call it. That's what great artists do. They leave it up to interpretation, you know?
Oh, yes.
So I'm going Rumba Man on that one, a Jesse Winchester tune. Jesse went to the other side as well, but a great songwriter. And Rumba Man is a great, great tune off that that I really love. Brings a sly smile to my face, I think, every time I listen to it. Just a really good tune. And here's the deal. Buffett Buffet Hotel. Also, like, I think it peaked maybe for the week or the month it was a top five album, which and when did it come out? Maybe 2008.
2009.
I just
looked it up. I didn't know that off the top of my head.
Oh, you looked it up? Yeah. See, here I was. Silly me. Thought it was 2008. 2008 and 2009 were a blur in my life. Met my future wife that outshines everything else in 2009. So it's a hard for me to, you know, time things up. So not 2008, 2009 album. But it was a good album and underrated. We don't talk about it enough. So I wanted to show it a little bit of love tonight. You know what I mean?
Beautiful Wings. Swimmers. Great, great song from that record.
Yeah, absolutely. But Wings and Rumba Man right there. And then here's another album that I have admittedly myself probably not been fair to in the past, Adam.
So excited. I'm so excited for you to bring this one up.
And that is Beach House on the Moon.
Right.
I've not been fair to that album.
I know the reason why. It's the cover. Yes. Dan and I talked about this on, I think, while we were recording his podcast, but the cover's pretty tough, right?
I think he's wearing like white shrimper boots.
But they look like the dad white New Balances.
They do. Yes,
it's the knees for me. I feel like pants would have been.
Pants may have been a call.
A little better.
And Jane, I'll tell you what, the critical social media eye that you have picks up on the knees. Fun fact, one of my things about folks is bad knees. I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I'll have to go back and look. But Jana, you may, like me, recognize knees more than you should, which is a good thing. But
if you're still somehow listening to us, God bless you.
Yeah. You know, it's
after our Vermont and knees deep dive.
Well, when we started making fun of Vermont, like half our audience probably tuned out. You know? That's the state we're sticking up for, but they are. Yeah. That's not sarcasm. But Beach House on the Moon doesn't get a ton of credit. 1999 album. I do know that. Here's how I know that. I believe somebody will correct us if we're wrong. I believe that was the last album that Fingers Taylor was on. Mm. And so I think 1999 for Beach House on the Moon and my first one there. This is why I looked it up. Semi-True Stories came on my shuffle today. And Semi-True Story, obviously, we talked about Will Kimbrough. There's another guy in the Coral Reefer Band who writes some music named Mac McAnally. He's pretty good at that. I checked out Semi-True Story. Obviously love the song, really familiar with it, but had no idea what album it was on. Like literally could not bring that up today. So I looked it up. Turns out it was on Beach House on the Moon. And there's some other good ones. I Will Play for Gumbo is one a lot of us have heard. Pretty good tune. I mean, I'm not wild about it, but I don't like, I don't check my phone during the concert if he plays it, you know?
And Oysters and Pearls. That one's one of my favorites.
Oh, very good. Oysters and Pearls is a great tune on there.
Yeah, I love, Hank, I think you sent me a text. It would have had to have been you. I don't know of anybody else that would have. But you said Jimmy wrote a song about each of his kids, he said. Which one did he write about? Cameron. And it's the title track, Beach House on the Moon. And talk about like a complex storyline, but a beautiful little story. That's a great like 6.5 minute song, Beach House on the Moon.
Yeah.
And a wonderful Bruce Cockburn cover, Pacing the Cage, man. Pacing the Cage is a great song.
You talk about slow and meaningful.
Yes.
If you're going to go slow and meaningful, top five, maybe even top three, Pacing the Cage has to be in there.
Oh, you know? It is so good.
I'm not really a get in my feelings kind of guy. If I ever feel like I'm going to get in my feelings, I'll like walk the dog, or I'll talk to Tara, or I'll go to sleep. Like I like many men, avoid my feelings like the plague. But if I were to get in my feelings, Pacing the Cage may be a song that I turn on, you know? So I'm glad we could appreciate Beach House on the Moon. And as promised, my last song there, one of my songs is tattoo related. And it comes from that album, Permanent Reminder of a Temporary Feeling. Pretty neat little tune. It came up ironically twice on my shuffle today. Permanent Reminder of a Temporary Feeling. And I thought about that, Jana, talking about your tattoos and everything. And, you know, maybe it's time to finally take the jump and get my Jimmy Buffett inspired tattoo.
Do it, just not on your foot, because that really hurts. It really hurts.
Note made. Yeah.
Hank, I think it's like an ode to Off to See the Lizard. You should get like a Mike Tyson lizard on your face.
I thought about that. Almost did. Tara vetoed it real late. I almost did get a like that kind of tattoo on my face, but you know, if that I didn't have sick. A son that I didn't have to provide for, yeah, it would be sick. You know, I'm not sure the reaction, you know, at the old place of work and what it would be if I got a design tattoo like that on my face. Though I will say, I am not one who has any sort of problems with tattoos. I think they're awesome. If they're on your face or your foot or wherever you want to put them, I think they're really neat. So I would have an issue with that, though I recognize that some may. But that would be a good tattoo, Adam. I think you should do it. You know?
So obviously we live in, as I've said before, population 400 in our small Southern Baptist town here in North Carolina. My wife has two tattoos. One of them is like on the lower part of her neck / upper back that just says God is greater than my highs and lows, you know, that little emblem or whatever. And then she got another one kind of on her rib area, and she was telling her dad about it. She said, Dad, I got to go. This was before her and I even started dating. She said, Dad, I got to go. He said, well, where do you have to go to? She said, I'm going to get a tattoo. Oh, what kind of tattoo are you getting? I'm getting a compass. And he says, oh, well, that's great, because you've clearly lost your sense of direction. So that's kind of the way tattoos are perceived. Right? He was obviously just joking with her. But I don't know, man. You guys totally have the look to pull tattoos off. I don't think I have that look. I'm not menacing enough, I don't think.
Adam, there are hundreds of words I could use to describe you before I got to menacing, I think.
You know, the real thing is I just don't want to experience the pain. So I hate pain. Pain sucks.
That's fair.
Can understand that.
That's fair. I'll tell you what. If I get my Jimmy Buffett tattoo, I will certainly update the old podcast here. We have well over 100 subscribers, so somebody surely will be hanging on, waiting for that news. I do have 4 tattoos, 2 big ones on my back, a couple on each shoulder. One of them is the state of North Carolina, and you can clearly see the coast of Carolina on it. So I suppose a bit Jimmy Buffett related, but a bit of a stretch, you know. So
stretching.
maybe I'll get the Margu flag. Once Jana sends me one, I'll take it into the tattoo joint and I'll
say, I've got you. I think I have an extra.
All right. You heard it here. We're doing it.
But you're going to need two extra.
We'll have to split this one.
I think I might only have one. You can cut it in half, though.
How about sweatshirts? The sweatshirts are pretty bad to the bone, and they don't have them anymore up on the site.
I was going to say, I know at one point they did have them. Those went pretty popular because of Harry Styles. Harry Styles.
I saw that. I meant to ask you about that. Yeah. What?
So, I'm sorry. My cats are knocking over everything in my home.
Oh, no. Well, we're a professional podcast, so we'll have to edit that out.
Right. Of course. Jared, who is or was at least in charge of Margu and like coordinating ambassadors, he saw where Harry Styles tweeted something that was semi-Jimmy Buffett related, so he sent him the welcome package and the sweatshirt stuck. So
what else in the welcome package?
So the welcome package changed over the years. I was an active member of Margu for about 3 or so years. The first 2 years, or 2 semesters rather, was there were these wooden boxes that had like a design printed on the top. They're very, very nice. There was some of the trail mixes. I believe there was a hot sauce at one point. There was a bunch of koozies, a bunch of stickers, notebooks, which I'm a stationery lover. I still have all my notebooks and they are still unused because nothing is perfect enough to go in those. Pens, just you name it, it was in there. There were even coupons for the restaurants. So there was a ton of stuff, book bags, shirts, just everything.
I somehow got my hands on a Margaritaville University sticker. So that is on my laptop right now.
You got your coupons the easy way, just joined up in Margu. Coupons that I had to the Margaritaville restaurant, I had to go and like gamble at the Margaritaville in Bossier City. Fun fact. I used to go to that Margaritaville in Bossier City and play some blackjack, but Jesse Winchester, writer of Rumba Man in the small world category, I think is actually from Bossier City. So small world right there, you know, closing the old circle. But that sounds like a great welcome pack. If you're hearing this and you're in college, and some incredible happenstance, you've heard this podcast, check out Margu.
And the best secret part about Margu is the pre-show passes. Amazing. You're starstruck. Like there's basically everybody in the Coral Reefer band in this one room with free food and free booze, all you want, except for Mr. B himself. He was never there at the ones I went to, but it was still awesome. And it's for like the friends and family of the band members and people who work at Margaritaville. So it's a very exclusive small group. And it was always so much fun because, you know, you're like bumping shoulders with Mr. Utley. Like you can't even fathom it.
Wow. That's big time. I bet that was, I don't get starstruck easy, but I suppose I may in there.
Oh yeah. I'm a little awkward right now on this podcast. So if that carries over, think about that. Like,
you're doing great. Man, absolutely incredible. Hanging out backstage. Now I'm determined more than ever to take my bowling class so that I can be a Margu ambassador.
take a golfing class, man. So when we play, you're not holding me up. Come on.
And that's a great excuse for me to tell Tara, look, I've got to go do a little homework. I'm heading to the range.
That's right.
I love it. Well, Jana, thanks for joining us this week. It's been fun. You were not awkward. You were fantastic. Had a ball. It was great to hear about your stories with Margu and just get a chance to chat with you. It has been a lot of fun. So I can't thank you enough for joining us.
Yeah, of course. It was so much fun to be here.
Real quick, do you want to plug your little social media business that you're running in case anybody in Vermont needs some help with their social media?
Yeah, of course. So I actually do not run a social media account for the business just because I have so many people that I'm helping. You know, I can't do an account just for that, which is a great problem to have.
Right.
But if you ever want advice or you are looking for somebody who knows Jimmy Buffett, if your product is Jimmy Buffett related, I've got you. You can find me on Instagram at Following the Cocktails. I do have a cocktail blog. No, it has not been touched since November. But we're getting there once we move.
There you go.
Getting there.
Well, again, Jana, we really appreciate it, guys. Go see her for all your social media needs. we appreciate the stories and any Margaritaville University swag you want to send our way. So
yeah, I have a really over the flag.
I have a really cool tiki hut in my backyard that would be complete with that flag. So if you are a Margaritaville University ambassador right now and you want to send Hank and I a swag bag, that would be the coolest thing in the world. And you can come on the pod to talk about Vermont and knees with us.
So, easy way to get on the podcast.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Hank, you good, man? Anything you want to add before we get out of here?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't think so. I think we're at an hour, which is just a little over how far we usually go. So thanks everybody for hanging in there with us tonight. Have an awesome, awesome weekend after you hear this, and make sure to keep those fins up.
Yeah, fins up, guys. We appreciate it.